السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Dr. Ali Zaini and I am teaching you the Islamic studies today and I'm answering stereotypes about Islam, defend Islam against stereotypes, people who stereotype Islam, that it's a spread by violence or spread by sword. First of all, first argument, the Quran said no. No. You cannot force somebody to be religious, to follow a certain religious. Here, this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that no compulsion in religion, no compulsion in religion, okay? The right has been established and the wrong has been established. And you cannot, and the ones who choose to hold to the tight creed, which is the straight creed, which is La ilaha illallah, are the ones who are going to be successful. But they have to do that by their choice. They cannot be forced. Logically speaking, you cannot force somebody to do to change his faith, because faith has to come from within, has to come from the person. It has to come from the heart of the person. So, and legally in the Islamic Sharia, any contract written under force is invalid. Any contract written under force, it's invalid. That's in Islam. Okay? So, Islam does not allow you to write a contract or invalid. Islam does not consider or approve contracts written under force. So what do you think about religion under force? Islam will, Allah will never accept the religion from somebody who's being forced. What's the point? The person has to demonstrate that he or she deserves Jannah by showing a commitment. But Allah is not going to accept the faith of somebody who doesn't want. Actually, there will be no faith then. But faith by nature cannot be imposed. This verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said that you're not supposed to compel them. You're not supposed to force them. You're not supposed to them. You just give the message. That's your job. Now, it's their job to make the selection, and it's Allah's job to judge them. Okay? And it's Allah's job to judge them. And then the verse, which is saying here, basically it is saying, Allah, if He wanted, He would have made people, all believers, all people on the earth believers. If He wanted, He would have made it that way. Since He didn't want that, would you, how come, who are you to compel men, them to believe? If I wanted them all to be believers, I would have done so. If I wanted to compel them, I would have compelled them. But what's the point of compelling them? Then we will not be tested. There will be no point of our creation then if we're compelled. Then we, angels are not compelled. Okay? So, agents are kind of compelled actually, because they have no choice, and this is why they are not tested, and this is why they don't go to Jannah or fire or hellfire. They are not tested. They don't get rewards. They don't get punishments. They are just not tested. They are have no choice. But for us, we wanted to be free. We wanted to have the choice. Okay, here are the choices. Here is the test. Let's see. So Allah chose to make people different in religion. And no one should do otherwise. No one can compel people to follow a certain religion. Nobody is allowed to be otherwise. It's like saying some people, racist people, will punish you for decisions made by Allah, our creator. discriminate against you for decisions that, for natural differences intended by our Creator, natural differences of skin color, natural differences in religion, natural differences in race. These are called natural differences intended by our Creator. Why should you punish me for it? Okay? So, some people, like there was some, this person is saying, I don't like Islam. So I said, and then what? So you don't like Islam, so then what? What do you want? Want to kiss us out? These are all natural differences. Religion is natural differences intended by our Creator. The job of the sword is to open a land, not to open a country. I'm sorry, not to open a heart. A sword cannot open the land. The sword cannot open the heart. The sword can open the land only. So the sword was used at the time of Islam. The sword was used to expand the empire. Okay? But not to compel the religion. So people can have their own religion, as we will be talking in a few minutes. People can have their own religion, but live under Islamic rule. So, and for Islamic empire. So that was the Muslim empire. And I think mostly is the same today. Yeah. The Ottoman Empire was the third largest empire in the world, the Ottoman Islamic Empire. The largest empire was the English British Empire, the land where sun doesn't set. That was the largest empire in the world, the largest. The second largest was the Mongols when they spread everywhere. And they ruled a lot of the earth. Actually, they ruled one quarter of the earth at their time, or one quarter of the population at that time of the world, at that time, the Mongols. And then the third largest empire is the Muslim Empire, Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire. This is the third largest Muslim empire. Okay? It wasn't ruling all these countries. Okay, it wasn't ruling everything here. It ruled mostly this area here, like that. Okay, that's what they ruled. So the sword was used to expand the empire, but not to force somebody to be taken at a certain faith. Using force to compel religions produces nothing but hypocrisy. The one who's under the threat of the sword would not love to or practice Islam, nor he will or she will teach them to their children, because you can't force the religion. People must love Islam to be believers. The person who loves and practices Islam, okay, to the children, is not the person doing it under the threat. It has to be coming from the heart. From the heart, not from the sword. Inquisition is a miserable history. A miserable years of Inquisitions are miserable years. Who knows what Inquisitions are? Any ideas? Zeki? Okay. Are you, do you know anything about Inquisition? What did you say?
It's like a long investigation.
Inquisition. Okay. This is the meaning of the word Inquisition, okay? The English meaning, but it's Inquisition is a terrible history. It is about the Queen Elizabeth was inspecting the, with was doing inspection of the religious of religion of every single person who lives in her rule, and she would torture those people to death, torture them really bad, okay, for not believing in the same exact faith. So Jews were persecuted and Muslims were persecuted in the Inquisition, Spain, Spanish Inquisition. They were persecuted and kicked out. Or if you stay, you have to be changing your religion. And if you don't, you get tortured plus beyond imagination. I wanted to show you some of the machines that you've used to for. Torture devices. I don't know if there's pictures of those. The Inquisition stayed for 600 years or 400 years. I think it's 600 years. I'm just trying to get, okay. Okay, they had the worst torturing machines you can ever imagine. I mean, if you go to the museum and you see the kind of machines, torture machines they had, it's unbelievable, unbelievable. One of them that I remember is that they make a person sit on a chair, and below that chair, there is a rotating thing, like a spiral rotating piece of steel, like screw basically, big screw. And they keep screwing it in and in slowly, and it expands, and it's and the person is tied to the chair, and the screw keeps going up and up and up until it kills the person. And it's a very slow process. Moving the screw is a very slow process. And then there is the worst torture machines were invented by these things. So the Christianity has a history of Inquisition. One time, one person, my neighbor, said, Islam spread by the sword. I didn't have to give a lecture or anything. I said, but we have seen 600 years of Inquisition. He completely shut down. All I needed to say, just remind him about the years of Inquisition. And of course, Islam never had an Inquisition at all. The people are forced to change their religion under torture by the Queen Elizabeth, I forgot which queen was her. She was Queen Emberia, something like that. Anyway, Queen Emberia. Anyway, bottom line is that what I'm trying to say here is that Islam doesn't have Inquisition. The people of Spain, the non-Christian people from Spain were at the beginning given an opportunity to leave. Those who stayed, they had to give up the religion. So they get inspections. If they find the Quran, if they find a person who's with fasting or Quran or praying, that person gets right away and taken into Inquisition torture to death place. Inquisition torture to death place. And then they trick the children. So they trick the children. Oh, did Baba teach you? What did Baba teach you today? What did Baba tell you about God? Did Baba tell you about Jesus or tell you about somebody else? You know, this is the Inquisition that trick the kids and the kids. So you're forced not to teach your kids because they can be easily tricked. And then you're going to be paying for that. So, and then having circles of small groups keeping their faith together, they infiltrated all small groups of people getting together and practicing their faith. They infiltrated all of them, all of these cells, and they completely eliminated other than Christians in the Queen Isabella. She's the one that started this. And her husband was King something, forgot his name. But we Muslims did not do any inquisition at all. There were no inquisition at all. The only two situations that people were forced to change religions is inquisition and Latin America. Latin America was not Christians, and they did not, like Mexico, for example, and they did not speak Spanish. They were pretty much native, just like the Native Indian Americans. They were just like that. What happened is that the Spanish people, they could not live on their own resources. So because they could not live on their own resources, they wanted to invade other countries to get the resources. So what they did, they could not expand from the east because the Muslim empire was preventing them. So they decided to invade from the west. They landed in the South America. And that the way they were able to change the religion of the people by creating work camps for the adults. And for the children, they give them to Catholic nuns. That's why Christian, like Mexicans, are Catholic. Catholic nuns. And those Catholic nuns will take children and teach them and raise them. Okay? Just like an orphan. Church. Okay? So they are given to a nun to teach them and teach them nothing but Spanish and nothing but Catholic religion. On the other hand, the men, they don't get to see their children and the parents. They are working in the camp, so they are separated. So when the parents die, the new generation was raised by the nuns as Catholic and speaking only Spanish. So these are the only two scenarios in the history of humans that I'm aware of. Inquisition was like it forced changing religion by force was done. There is a very good example in Indonesia. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country of the world. It has over 200 million Muslims. 200 million Muslims. It became a Muslim. All those 200 million Muslims, there was no military action to invade Indonesia. There was no any military action to do that. There was no war. There was nothing. It spread by trading. People were so impressed by the moral values and amount of charity produced by the Muslim merchants that people loved Islam. There's a nice story that goes with that, that the native merchants, the native merchants and business people owning local businesses. Everybody wants to deal with the Muslims. Nobody wants to deal with them. Muslims give a charity. Muslims replace defective material. People give, Muslims lend people things, and they can pay back if they can, at their own convenience. They would give the highest quality with the cheapest price. They were honest. They were doing a lot of charity work. So the local business people got out of business. The local merchants got out of business. Everybody dealing with Muslims and nobody's dealing with them. So they went to the king, and the king, they complained. They said, those foreign invaders invaded our markets and they are taking business away from us. I think we need you to deport them. So the king sent a messenger, sent an investigation team who went and investigated what's going on, and then they came and told the king. So the king said, you want to compete with them? Do like what they do. Just do exactly like them, and you will be competing with them. Compete with them by doing what they do, and better. Otherwise, I'm not deporting them. Okay? So that was, and then this king becomes a Muslim, and the entire nation of Indonesia became a Muslim. And today is the largest Muslim country in the world. 200 million Muslims became Muslims without any military interaction at all. So that tells you right away that religion was spread by heart, by people who were impressed and wowed about Islam. Islam had to offer a lot of things that were not available there then. So Islam had to offer a lot of things, and that's why people were wowed about Islam, impressed about Islam, and believed in Islam. But the sword was used to expand the empire, not the... What is difference between invasion and occupation? Invasion and occupation. Invasion and liberation. This is the mistake here. Liberation. So when a country is conquered, we can call this occupation or invasion. How do we tell the difference? If the country being invaded became better than it was, then this is called liberation. But if the country becomes worse, then this is called occupation. Okay? So, Muslims, when they went to countries, they made the countries better than their own homelands. You know, you look at these civilization, Muslim architectural, showing you the level of sophisticated and shows how much was produced then by Muslims. You can see it today, and you will determine yourself. You will find out that people, that Muslims made the countries they went to better than Mecca and Medina. You don't see these things in Mecca and Medina. You don't see these nice buildings and nice structures in Mecca and Medina. I mean, at that time. So Muslims made the countries they go to better than their own. Every time they go to a place, better make it better than it is. So people were wowed about Islam. So if I tell you, for example, George Bush occupied Iraq, did he make it Iraq better than California, or worse than what's that thing? Tijuana. Well, did he make it better than California or worse than Tijuana? The answer is no. What do you think? What do you think, Zaki? Did George Bush make Iraq better than California or worse than Tijuana?
No.
So would we call the George Bush occupation of Iraq, do we call liberation or occupation?
Occupation. And invasion.
Yes, because it made the country worse. Muslims didn't do that. Muslims made the countries they go to, they make it better than their own. Okay? And these are things that you can see and appreciate. You can see today. You can take a tour to Spain and you see all these structures are still preserved. These are all showing the civilization that existed on that time. By the way, when you get to Spain, they tell you that they are proud of the point of time where Spain was the strongest country in Europe. And that was under the rule of the Muslims. It was Abdurrahman al-Awsat. Yes, it was during Abdurrahman al-Awsat time. I think so, bottom of my head. Spain or Andalusia at that time was called Andalusia or Al-Andalus. Was the strongest country in Europe. It has the strongest military power in Europe. See more about the Muslim architecture. When you go there, you will be, it will really be heart touching when you see the churches having these things with Quran written on it. Islamic architecture saying, for example, Allahu Akbar, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, La ilaha illallah. These are written, and the churches are, these masjids were converted into churches with these writings still preserved there. So you go to a church and it has all these Islamic things on the walls, because Queen Isabella, as part of her Inquisition, she converted all masjids and other worship places into churches. So you see a place like that, okay? And you see the, it made a church, and you see they left the painting and the architecture on the inscriptions of Muslims there, and they just added the crosses and the picture of Jesus and things like that. So this is how beautiful are the things you see in Spain. So it shows, the reason I'm saying that is because it demonstrates that Muslims made Spain better than their own lands. And that's how they were able to improve the country. So people loved it. People wanted it. People were excited and happy. And they went willingly into Islam, because they were wowed with what Islam had to offer at that time. Yeah, that's the difference between invasion and occupation. The British occupied Egypt for 80 years, but they did not make Cairo better than London. They didn't, and you know they didn't. And the French occupied Algeria for 140 years, but they did not make Algeria better than Paris. 140 years, the purpose was to suck the blood, not to make the people better. George Bush invaded Iraq and did not make it better than Washington, D.C. He made it much worse than it was at the time of Saddam. So, that is the difference between liberation and occupation. Another argument is that Muslims protected and respected the worship places for other faiths. These are two examples, churches in Egypt. There are churches in Egypt, where I am from, that has been 2,000 years there. 2,000 years, and yeah, about 2,000 years. Life near 1900 years old, 2000 years old. They all there. Nobody, and there are a community of like 5% of Egyptians are Christians. Nobody forced them to change their religion, and nobody demolished their churches. Okay? Usually, usually people are impressed with what Islam had to offer, and need people that already existing there, they were welcome to keep their churches and to practice their own religion in their own communities. So, and they would not be subject to the Muslim laws. For example, drinking wine. They can sell and buy and drink wine to each other, with each other, not with Muslims. So if a Christian person was caught drunk, doesn't get the punishment that a Muslim person who's caught drunk gets. So they were allowed to eat pork, they were allowed to drink wine, and nobody interfered with that. But they had general laws to observe, to keep these un-Islamic practices within their closed communities, not to spread it, okay? So we have churches, and these are other churches. This one where Jesus was born, still existing until today. The Crying Wall for the Jews, still until today existing. You go to Jerusalem, you find it. Nobody bothered anybody. Jerusalem has a Masjid al-Aqsa for Muslims, Crying Walls for Jews, and native churches where Jesus was born. Okay? So that's why Jerusalem is, like they call it, the center of religions, because all Abrahamic faith are the faith that all comes from Prophet Abraham, children of Israel. Israel was a child of Abraham, the grandchild of Abraham. And so those are the Jews. The Christians, Jesus was a descendant of Prophet Abraham, and he descended of Isaac in particular. And Muslims, we have the furthest mosque, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. The third, there are three recognized Muslims in Islam, three recognized places of centers to be for Islam. Like anything else, okay, cannot be called, these three things cannot be called other than masjid. In other words, three, like Kaaba. Kaaba is number one. Masjid al-Haram, where Kaaba is number one. Masjid al-Nabawi, where the Prophet is buried, is number two. And number three is the furthest masjid. These are the three holy places in Islam. Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabawi, Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And it is in Jerusalem. And Muslims rule Jerusalem almost all the time. And never destroyed or ruined any of these worship places or churches. Islam has always been protecting the minorities, not because of something Muslims invented. It's part of Islamic law, is what is part of the Islamic law, is how does Islam do with Ahl al-Dhimmah. We call them Ahl al-Dhimmah, Dhimmatullahi wa Rasuli, the people who are, we are being trusted to be, that people that are true, that we're trusted, that Allah trusted us to deal with them fairly. If I try to make a translation to word Ahl al-Dhimmah, means that the people that Allah has trusted that we deal with them fairly, which are the Muslims, non-Muslims living under non-Muslim minorities, living under Muslim rules. They have laws in Sharia, they have laws, that makes their life possible and protect their rights. There are laws, sometimes they get more protection than the actual native Muslims over there. So the Christian guy would have more rights, sometimes would have an advantage or privilege over the Muslim, over a comparable Muslim person. We are the people, yes, the people of Dhimma here. They are called the people of Dhimma in the Islamic law. The people of the book and Quran and Islamic teachings, they are called the people of the book. And in the Islamic Sharia or law, they're called the people of the Dhimma. So click here. That explains the word Dhimma. Christians and Sabians and some living under Muslims rule. Ahl al-Dhimma. And the people of the book are the Jews, Christians, and Christians. But the people of the Dhimma is more than, the people of the Dhimma is any religion. But the people of the book are only Christians and Jews. Crash. Also, Islam allows Muslim men to marry from the people of the book. That's the special status for the people of the book, but not, this privilege is not given by Islam to other religions other than the people of the book. So Muslim men can marry Christian wives, Christian girls. Muslim men can marry Christian girls, and Muslim men can marry Christian women, and Muslim men can marry Jewish women. They can marry together. So how could you tell me that Islam is intolerant to other religion if Islam allows marriage between the male, between a man from Islam, a Muslim man marrying a Christian or a Jewish wife? Then how can you still say that Islam is intolerant? My wife is the mother of my children, is the queen of my heart, is the one I love the most in my life, my wife. If Islam allows me to have a Christian wife or have a Christian or have a Jewish wife, it's a level of intolerance that's not preceded at all at their time. The word tolerance to other religions were not known at the time of Islam at all. There was nothing called religious tolerance. Religious tolerance is a principle that was established by Islam and practiced by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his follower Abu Bakr and Umar. Umar was the one who really made it into the written laws. Okay. That is a religious tolerance is an Islamic concept that's not known outside of Islam. Okay. So we can say Islamic Sharia provides tolerance. Islamic Sharia provides tolerance was known to be religious tolerance before that. Before Islam introduced that concept, there was nothing. And it's built part of the religion. It's not something that was add on. It's an intrinsic part of the religious dominance. Now, as I said before, Islam allows that we love and be fair to the ones. So the ones, Allah forbids you from not being friends to the ones who is not fighting you because you're a Muslim and is not fighting you to kick you out of your land. To be tabarruhum, just like the word used with parents. Tabarruhum means deal with kindly with them. Watuqsitu means dealing justly with them. And Allah likes that. Allah likes that. But Allah forbids you from the ones who fight you because you're Muslims and they kick you out of your land. They want to occupy your land and take you out of it. Or support the ones who take you out of your lands. Either they are taking you out of your land or supporting somebody who's fighting you. Allah forbids you from, it's a sin to be, it's haram to be a friend of this person. And the example that applies to us here in the United States is the example of the Islamophobes. You can't have an intimate relationship with an Islamophobe. How can you be a Muslim and you have such a deep and dear relationship with an Islamophobe? It can't. It doesn't work. How can you marry an Islamophobe? You would be betraying Allah and His Messenger if you do that, if you marry an Islamophobe or an enemy of Islam, in other words. Islam came when the world was full of injustice. The caste system is there. People were not equal. People were created in a caste system. This is the European caste system: king, nobles, knights, peasants. And in another system, Brahman. And this is Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Shudras, the slaves are Shudra. Brahmas are the leaders. Brahma. So Islam, these are what was available. Islam introduced this. Equal people with equal rights. Equal people with equal rights and obligations. Now, Islam has no harm policy, okay? So if there is a Muslim who wants to quit Islam and he does this quietly on his own without making an announcement, this person will have no harm. But the harm, if the one tries to harm the religion, so if you try to harm Islam, Islam will harm you. But if you don't try to harm Islam, Islam will not harm you. So if you change your religion without making a big show out of it, Islam will not. So it's just like you change your religion and you don't tell anybody. Nobody's going to force you to do it, to become a Muslim. But you don't go publicly and start saying, denouncing things. And this verse was mentioned about the people who wanted to fight Islam. So in the morning, they would come to the Muslims and say, "We love you. We would love to be Muslims. We love to be Muslims." And then at the end of the day, they say, "No, we found that Islam is no good. So we quitted being Muslims." And then a second group will do the same thing, which is described here, that they become Muslims. And then at the end of the day, they denounce Islam. So the Prophet Muhammad said, if one of them does this again, then kill him. And that was specific for this period of time. But I think the rule expanded from there, that anybody who tries to harm Islam by changing his religion, then that person gets a 3 days chance to apologize. And if he doesn't apologize by the third day, then they get executed. But if the one doesn't make a big show out of it and doesn't say, oh, Islam was no good, I quitted Islam, and is not trying to harm Islam, then Islam will have not harmed them. You try to harm Islam, Islam will harm you. You don't try to harm Islam, Islam will not harm you. So if they tell you during at the end of the 3 days, all what you have to say is that you were sorry and you didn't, and you were wrong. Otherwise, it's a death penalty. It's the death penalty. It's just like saying somebody, you have to choose between two punishments. Pay $1 as a fine or cut your hand. Of course, I pay $1 as a fine. And this applies only in Muslim states. It does not apply outside of the Muslim states. Like, it does not apply in the United States. Does not apply in a country that's being ruled by Muslims only. Okay, let's see if we have any questions. Okay, let me